Good afternoon, everyone. We've got a pretty good crowd here today. Nice to see. Well, last month, I spoke about how Christ cleansed the temple in my last message that I gave. And this is kind of a follow-up, but it's more personal. Christ, the temple in Jerusalem, that was his temple. That's where people came to worship him. And he was very zealous in removing and cleansing his temple. It would be nice if I could be as zealous about cleansing my spiritual temple as he was about the physical temple there in Jerusalem. Have to pardon my voice. I have some allergies and my throat's a little scratchy. Some of the material I use today is from an article by Mr. Todd Carey, which I found on the Life, Hope, and Truth website while I was researching this topic. My wife and I, just to get into the message a little bit, have lived in our home for 44 years as of last February. It's unbelievable how much accumulates in 44 years. And after several attempts, I am again trying to clean out my garage and get it organized. Now, I still have about a third of a case of nails, construction nails, that I bought 43 years ago to add on a family room to the house. Since then, I've used some of them, but I've gone the last, quite a few years now, to using battery-powered tools. And so I don't use nails anymore. I use screws and an impact driver. So I saw those nails again, I don't know, about a month ago when I was out there working. I said, oh, I got to do something with these. But, I still have a lot to sort through, but it's come a long way. I can get around in my garage and find things again at least, or get to them if I do know where they are. My garage is getting relatively well organized. But as I was working on doing that, I was also thinking about this message, and I said, it was a previous message about Christ cleansing the temple. I says, how organized and clean am I? Paul tells us in, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, that we are temples of God if we have his spirit. So we're going to read that in just a moment. In the verses prior to this, Paul was comparing his people to a building God is erecting for his use as a temple to live in while we're in this physical life. And Paul says, I'm a minister of God, and I have laid the foundation based on Jesus Christ. Now, what we need to do is allow God, through his Holy Spirit, to build upon that foundation a building worthy and acceptable to God. Let's read verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I have God's Spirit, so I'm a temple of God. Everyone who has God's Spirit is a temple of God. And as God's temple, it is my responsibility to keep that temple clean and holy for God and Jesus Christ to live in. We're told in the spring before Passover that we're supposed to search ourselves and find the sins that are still active in us and remove them. And now you may say, Bart, God's holy days are upon us. The Feast of Trumpets is next Sabbath. You're a few months late. Well, yes, that's true. But I do need to have my temple clean for Christ's return, which is pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, of course. So unless I live until the time of Christ's return, my first conscious thought at Christ's return will be, I'm in the kingdom, or I'm not in the kingdom. It could go either way. But after death, trumpets is the next day for that person, or the next moment. And since I don't know when my death is going to come, I need to be prepared all the time. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul confronts the Corinthians about various things they're doing wrong in their spiritual life. And he also reminds them of the promises that God gives to those who obey him. And he concludes his discussion in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, which I'm not going to read. I'm just going to tell you what it says, basically, because the next verse is very similar. But he tells the Corinthians to remove the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and then perfect holiness within them. Now, I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, where Peter had been talking about basically the same thing. And I want to just get the conclusion of it, where he mentions some of the filthiness to remove from ourselves, from the temple that God is creating in us. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 1. And he identifies five types of filth. I must remove and you must remove. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Malice is wickedness, deliberate ill will, having bad feelings and thoughts and maybe even actions towards someone else or a group of people. Deceit is intentionally misleading another person or a group of people, hoping, I guess, for your own gain. The only reason someone would really want to do it, I think. Hypocrisy, the third one. That's acting a part, pretending to be something you aren't. And this applies primarily to people who are outwardly religious and good, but on the inside, they are insincere and unrighteous. Now, Christ often pointed out the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees who loved to be out in public praying and doing good things, but privately they weren't. Envy. That's when I have a desire for something that someone else has, either material possessions that I do not possess, or qualities of character that I have failed to develop. Not their fault they've developed character qualities I don't have, I have failed to do. And it's not their fault that I don't have some of the things they have. Maybe I don't even really want them. But sometimes you just envy people and want what they have. Evil speaking is the fifth one. And this is saying something against someone with the intention of causing harm to their character, giving them a bad name. And you can be something that's true that you've found out about them, but you have no business telling anyone else about. Or it can be a lie you make up to make them look bad. Either way, it's a sin. Now, there are probably a number of ways to summarize what God expects us to accomplish in our life as we grow spiritually. But I think Mr. Carey, whose article I got some of this information from, was quite accurate and concise when he said, grow in the righteous character of God. That's something we've heard in various ways and through our church life, I think. The Holy Spirit lives in each one of us to help us develop that righteous, godly character. And God's character, of course, is summarized in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And we'll read that in a moment. These character traits are what we need to develop to replace this bad, evil, sinful character of Satan that we have in us. We need to replace those with something good, or they're just going to come back all the time. And all of us have Satan's character traits in us to a greater or lesser extent, and which ones are going to vary from person to person. Okay, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the final scripture of this message. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you may have noticed that malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking were not included in the fruit of God's Spirit. Those five and many more are fruits of Satan's evil spirit, and possessing those will bar me and bar you from entering the kingdom of God. Now, no one will achieve perfection in this physical life, but that's what we must aim for. We won't make it, but our goal should be to make it, and God will take care of the rest. So how clean is my temple? I can honestly say that it needs a lot of cleaning yet. And, I need to remove those nails from my garage, and I need to remove the spiritual nails in me. Now, the question is, and only for you to answer, how clean is your temple? May all of God's people grow in righteousness as we celebrate and observe God's Fall Holy Days.